Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Monday, May 11th, 2015. I'm opening a meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government, and I'm opening a public hearing on House Bill 3523A relating to the State Library. Mr. Borden.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee. Before you is House Bill 3523A, which relates to the State Library. The measure reorganizes the mission and the governance of the State Library. The measure, there's a preliminary staff measure summary posted on OLIS, which outlines the provisions of the measure. There's a minimal fiscal impact also on OLIS, and a revenue impact is in process. There is no amendment to the measure, and I'd be happy to go through more detail if you would like.
Are we going to have public testimony on this, I assume? Yeah. Ms. Dahlgren, are you coming up to talk to us? Excellent. Thank you. The floor is yours.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the subcommittee. For the record, my name is Mary Kay Dahlgren, and I'm the state librarian. I'm here today to speak to House Bill 3523A, which will change the governance structure of the Oregon State Library and will allow implementation of several of the recommendations that were made by the 2011 Legislative Work Group on Libraries and Archives in Oregon State Government. From the perspective of the State Library, the changes to the State Library Board would allow broader input from all of our patron bases and provide the added expertise of two of our partner agencies. The change to the appointment of the State Librarian would bring that process in line with other agency head appointments while continuing to assure that professional library credentials are required. The other substantive changes appear in Sections 15, Section 16, and Section 19. Those sections would create a State Reference Coordinating Council, require State Library approval and oversight of subscription databases and physical subscriptions, and require State Library certification of other state agency libraries. We believe that these changes will reduce duplication, provide additional options for collaboration, and will leverage the expertise of the State Library staff. I'd be happy to answer questions.
Sir Johnson.
I guess I just can't help but ask this. What in this bill is going to fix things over there? It seems to me like this is kind of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Tell me substantively, as the state librarian, what you expect to get out of this piece of policy legislation that addresses some of the stuff this committee's been asking you to do for now two biennia for sure.
Co-chairs and Senator Johnson, I believe that because this has very substantive issues that were discussed by the work group in 2011, and they are codified, they would be codified in statute. I believe that particularly the Reference Coordinating Council that will provide some structure for us to work together with the colleagues with our State Law Library and State of Oregon Archives. I think that having the ability of the State Library to oversee essentially the subscription databases will provide us with an opportunity to reduce duplication and probably get better a better deal on a lot of things. We've got staff at the State Library who are very knowledgeable in that. And then the certification of other state agency libraries, I believe, will provide us with a structure so that we can work more collaboratively with other agency libraries.
Follow up. I guess I'd have to ask is, why do you have to have cooperation, non-duplication, codified in statute? Some of us have been begging you and the State Library to do this now for two biennia, and it seems now we're putting in statute what we've been asking you to demonstrate the results of. Cooperation, avoid duplication, streamlining. My old joke about 100 years of tradition unhampered by progress, now we're going to tell you to do it in statute. We've been asking right straight along. What's the difference between asking and statute? Now that it's in statute, are we finally going to make some progress?
Co-Chair Steiner Hayward and Senator Johnson, I believe that because we are dealing with agencies that are from different branches of government and have different governance, this will provide us with the structure that we need to work together to move forward.
I would just say that I appreciate Senator Johnson's concerns. I would say, however, that having looked through this bill and looked through that 2011 report, and the 2012 one, and the one we did, Representative Nathanson and I did in 2013, and the work group that's happened subsequently, that this does make some substantive changes that were recommended by the Secretary of State. I wish we didn't have to do stuff in statute, but I recognize that sometimes it's necessary, especially when you are dealing with multiple branches of state government. And frankly, when you have, and I'm not referring Ms. Herkert and Ms. Bowie, who are in the back of the room, to either of you, but other state agencies that have their own libraries, and I have heard and seen a certain amount of fiefdoms associated, and if they're told this is how it's going to be, then that will hopefully help them understand that they need to get on the bandwagon and stop having, you know, make sure that they're, what they've got available is available to everybody and that everybody knows what's out there so that we aren't spending a lot of state resources on duplicative materials or subscriptions or whatever. I wish it didn't have to be this way. I suspect you and your colleagues wish that as well. But sometimes statute is our last resort, and it sounds as if we've gotten to that place. So I don't love this either. I don't think anybody loves it, but I think it will help us get to a place that where we wanted to be. So I think from that perspective, it's a good thing. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I look at this a lot differently. I think this bill is significant because it is, instead of depending on statute to try to micromanage an agency, which we do sometimes, and I fully acknowledge that I've done a little bit of that through some of the bills that I've asked the legislature to pass, and which they have, requiring certain efficiencies and using economies of scale and so forth. Some of that is micromanaging that I believe is the executive branch's responsibility, and when they don't live up to our expectations, we put it in statute. This is quite different. Rather than the legislature micromanaging specific programs and processes, this is a significant change. The state librarian will be appointed by the governor. The state library trustees are abolished. There's a renaming and there's a new board that over time will start to change. There are existing members who will stay on the board, and as their terms end, then there will be other members added, and it changes the composition. We are adding new types of representation to the board so that the board matches the mission of the state library. I think what we've done is quite significant, and I'm very pleased that instead of continuing to engage and the legislature being in the middle of the friction, we've said we are now disengaging from that. We are going to reconstitute the way that the library's mission is determined and who's overseeing it. And I do believe that's a big difference than what we've seen in the past few decades. It's basically a new board and a new way of managing its business in the state.
That's a helpful perspective. Thank you, Representative Nathanson. I appreciate that. Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I respect Representative Nathanson's opinion. We've been working on this. The only thing that this committee has been working on longer is debt collection. We started that in 1997. I've tried to read this bill very carefully and taking out the hyperbole, the collaboratives, and the clarifyings and establishing processes and procedures. I don't see where there's meaningful substance in this bill. Yes, the librarian will be appointed by the governor, but that doesn't happen until 2017. The Board of Trustees has changed the name to the Board of the Library Board, but it's the same people, and it will be changed over a period of time. I keep looking, trying to find some beef in this, and I just don't see it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Are there questions? At the moment, Ms. Dahlgren was the only one I had signed up to testify. Is there anybody else in the audience who would like to testify on this bill? Okay, If not, I am closing the public hearing on House Bill 3523.
Madam Chair.
Yeah.
Can you open it up?
I'm going to reopen the public hearing on House Bill 2523.
One other thing is in thinking about the folks that are now being asked to coordinate and collaborate, is this by consensus? Is this by power of the majority? What happens if archives and others disagree with the perspective of the state librarian? Whose opinion has supremacy?
Ms. Dockery?
Co-Chair Senator Hayward and Senator Johnson, I would hope that we could come to consensus.
That wasn't the answer that I wanted. I mean, does it say in the bill whose opinion trumps?
No. I think that was intentional, so that there wouldn't be one agency, one organization that trumped, but that we work together to make the best decision possible for the state of Oregon.
Well, I'm just trying to think, in the case that there is not consensus, and I frankly think the archives are very well managed, and I am just I'm just worried that if there is a failure to find consensus, where the adjudicatory authority is to try to once again work out the differences. And you don't need to respond. I'll just leave that as another question. I might make one more comment, Madam Chair, if you're moving towards a vote. I don't think that this fixes anything. I have the choice of annoying the co-chair and having him come down and vote for me. Or to give a courtesy yes. I'm going to give a courtesy yes, but I would presume that on the record my questions would reflect how unenthusiastic I am about this.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Woodson.
Madam Chair, I just want to read a passage from this bill that just, I think, really exemplifies my frustration. It's starting on 22, page 1. The State Library shall promote the establishment, development, and support of local library services by expending money as may be available to the State Library to demonstrate, develop, and support library services in accordance with long-range plans for statewide development and coordination of library services. Can you tell me what that means?
It means they ought to do what they're already doing pretty well, Senator, which is helping public libraries grow their services and do things like summer reading programs. And then if they have more money available to them, or we ask them to do other things, or they get grant funds to do other things, and they should do those too to help our public libraries grow and serve our communities better. Am I wrong, Ms. Dahlgreen?
I would agree, Co-Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Other comments before I close the public hearing? Okay, now I'm closing the public hearing on House Bill 3523, and I'm opening a work session on House Bill 3523.
So, Madam Co-Chair, I move House Bill 3523 to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Mr. Co-Chair moves House Bill 3523 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Opposition? Senator Whitsitt.
And
Representative Hurd.
Mine is reflected as a courtesy.
And Senator Johnson is offering a courtesy vote. Thank you. Any further discussion? Any further opposition? If not, so moved. Representative Nathanson, would you be kind enough to carry this in full and in the House for us?
All right.
Thank you very much. And if Senator Devlin would be kind enough to carry this for us in the Senate. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, I'm closing the work session on House Bill 3523. Moving on, we're going to be doing the budget, and I'm opening a work session on Senate Bill 5519 relating to the State Library. Mr. Borden.
Co-chair and members of the subcommittee, again, before you is the State Library's primary budget bill, Senate Bill 5519. Posted on OLIS as the work session papers from the Legislative Fiscal Office. The recommendation is for a $14.9 million total funds budget for 42 positions, 40.26 FTE. The recommendations include three specific packages. There's a package 080, which is the May 2014 Emergency Board, which is provides the second year of funding for the agency so that it has two full years of funding. That's a $7.3 million total funds package for an additional 19.63 FTE. The second package is package 802 related to Answerland, which we'll talk about in more detail, but this package is has a zero federal funds impact and adds one position, one FTE. And the last package is just a package of note that will be discussed in the work session papers, package 100, related to sustaining Talking Book and Braille services program. We'll walk through, if I may, Madam Co-Chair, the work session papers. On page one of the work session papers, again, is the overall view of the agency's budget. It's for $3.6 million general fund, $6.3 million other funds, and $5.1 million federal funds for, again, a total of $14.9 million total funds, 42 positions, and 40.26 FTE. The package is a overall 5.4% increase from the 2013-15 legislatively approved budget and a 0% change from the current service level. Again, the first package, 080, is the May 2014 Emergency Board. This package provides funding and full-time equivalent authority for the second year of biennium of the agency, and that is throughout the various programs of the agency. Package 802 is Answerland. This is a request to move Answerland, a state electronic reference service, from Multnomah County Library to the State Library. The service will be staffed by a new library position, which is part of this request, that will oversee day-to-day operations, including recruiting volunteers and training librarians. The library will contract for associated information technology services. The total cost of this package is $397,156 federal funds. However, there is a reduction in special payments to Multnomah County of a similar amount, which means there is a zero impact of this package. The only thing the package adds is one position and one FTE.
Mr. Borden, what's seen as the perceived benefit of moving this function from Multnomah County to the State Library that, in my opinion, continues to struggle?
Madam Co-Chair and Senator Johnson, the benefit is that there are two. One, Multnomah County no longer wishes to be the agent for this particular service. And the second benefit that the State Library has noted is that it's a statewide service that requires statewide coordination. And so repositioning it back to the State Library is seen as a benefit.
Thank you.
And lastly, to conclude, package 100, which is sustaining the Talking Books and Braille services. As you may recall during testimony, there is one State Library specialist position that is other funded with private donations account. It originally was funded with general fund prior to the 2007-09 biennium. Continued use of the donation account is for this purpose would significantly deplete the donation account to below acceptable levels for next biennium. In other words, there would be insufficient donation revenue to continue funding this position. So this request is to provide 1 year of funding for general fund for this fund shift from moving the position from other funds, this donation account, to federal, to back to general fund.
Madam Co-Chair, I would move that we accept the LFO recommendations of Senate Bill 5519.
Thank you. Mr. Co-Chair moves that we accept LFO's recommendations for Senate Bill 5519. Is there any discussion? Sir, what's it?
For Mr. Borden, I'm trying to make the sense of the, in my mind, of the endowment fund figures we have here. The endowment fund appears to be increasing from 2011 to 2014 from $834,000 to $1.4 million, yet the return on investment seems to be falling off. How much money does this donation fund receive every year, and how is it invested?
Madam Co-Chair and Senator Whitsitt, just for clarification, there are two funds here. One is the endowment fund, and the second one is the donation fund. It is the donation fund for which this position's funding has been drawn. And that particular balance has dropped from $231,000 to an estimated $130,000 currently, is the forecast for 2014. And so this position would draw upon that fund by approximately $100,000 per biennium. And so that is the specific account that is of concern. Getting back to your specific question on the endowment fund, my understanding is that is invested in the state treasury short-term fund. And so its earnings are interest only.
Thank you. Is this anticipated to be a continuing obligation of the general fund? I don't know what the discussions were. It funds a position right now, and failure to buck it up with general fund results probably in the termination of the position. But does LFO see this as a continuing obligation of the general fund?
Madam Co-Chair and Senator Johnson, right now, what would happen is half the position would become a general fund obligation under these recommendations. The position would then, during 17-19, become go back to being 100% general funded. However, that recommendation or situation could be revisited based upon the account balance in the donation account.
That causes me to have two other questions. I maybe just didn't listen or didn't pay attention, but what are the responsibilities of this position that it's now a general fund obligation?
If I may,
please,
Co-Chair and Senator Johnson, the state librarian would be more could speak more specifically to it, but the position does a lot of does a lot of volunteer coordination and other activities related to the Library Development Program, I believe.
Ms. Dahlgreen.
I'm sorry, the Talking Books and Braille Services
Program. Madam Co-Chair and Senator Johnson, it's a state...
Introduce yourself.
I'm Mary Kay
Dahlgreen.
I'm the state librarian. The State Library Specialist 1 position, there are two positions in Talking Book and Braille Services, and those two positions are essentially the positions that make sure the books, materials, machines go out to the patrons and come back. They check things in and check things out. They're like circulation clerks, essentially.
Okay.
And can you remind me why that was funded? By donations rather than the state in general? I mean, it seems like we have a certain obligation to our visually impaired Oregonians to help make sure that they have access to these services, but maybe I'm overstating the case.
Co-Chair Steiner Hayward, I believe it was two biennia ago when we were having financial difficulties in the state that the legislature directed us to put it on donation fund, to put that position on donation fund. So we're requesting that it go back to general fund. We do indeed, we use that as part of our match and maintenance of effort for our LSTA grants as well.
Can you remind us what LSTA stands for?
Library Services and Technology Act.
Thank you. Senator Johnson?
Is that maintenance of effort put in jeopardy by the restoration of general fund to this position?
No, Senator.
Representative
Cole. Thank you. To add a little bit more insight into this, Madam Co-Chair and Committee, I must be 6 years already, that when we legislated to close the blind school, and we had agreements in that bill, and part of them were to make sure that some of these activities were sustainable. And so, yes, the legislature has had to be pretty creative in order to do that. The thing that I have not kept track of, but I know that the Board for Blind and Visually Impaired have not received some of the funding that they were promised through that legislation because we did end up in the recession. But to make sure that I know there's a much broader constituency that does the reading books in the Braille, but for our students, it's critical. It's the only resource that's out there for students in school right now.
That was really helpful.
Very helpful. Thank you very much, Representative. Really appreciate it. Any other questions on what Mr. Borden's just told us? Senator Johnson.
One other one. Has library staff or you as the state librarian tracked this downward trend in donations? It seems to me that people contribute to services that they value. And I don't know, do you advertise? Do you get any feedback from folks that were donors? Or are lawyers reaching out to you for opportunities for estates to?
Senator Steiner Hayward and Senator Johnson, yes to all of those. Let me explain a little bit. We have the endowment fund, and as Senator Whitsitt pointed out, it has increased substantially over the last several years. Last week, I got news of a bequest of about $200,000. The donation fund is what we do two solicitations a year. We have a part-time fund development coordinator who is paid for with donation funds. And we have a solicitation twice a year, and we usually get about $80,000 from those solicitations. The issue is that those we advertise those the donations as when we ask for funding as providing enhancements to the Talking Book and Braille library, enhancements like Newsline, which allows our blind and physically handicapped patrons to be able to listen to the newspaper on the phone or on their computer. We have captioned videos, voiceover videos for people who are blind, so that they can hear the action that's going on the screen while they're watching the movie. So what's happened is that to do those enhancements, we're pretty comfortable with the amount of money that we're receiving, but to additionally pay for this basic service is what we're trying to move away from, so that we can use the donations. And we have very generous donors, and we have I have some very touching letters about how important the service is to people, and we feel that it's important that we hold our faith with those people and provide additional services, enhancements.
Okay, we've got a motion from my co-chair to accept the LFO recommendations. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection? Okay, if not, so moved.
Madam Co-Chair and members of the committee, next we move to the key performance measures for the agency. The LFO recommendation is to approve the existing measures and targets with the understanding that the agency will review and update the KPMs for the 17-19 biennium to achieve alignment with its reorganization and long-term strategic plans.
Okay, Mr. Crocher.
I just have a clarification. This means we're sort of suspending the KPMs until the new board comes into place and the new board articulates a new mission and new accountabilities and, okay.
It would be my intention, and I'll just put this on the record, that or my hope, certainly, that we would have an update during the 2016 session, Ms. Dahlgreen, about the progress on implementing the new bill and conversations they've been having, and then hopefully on an ongoing basis as appropriate for interim legislative days to the e-board, because I think it would be helpful to keep this committee apprised of the progress that you're making with this reorganization. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Please.
Is this going to be a consultant-facilitated reorganization?
Don't have a clue. Ms. Dahlgreen. You can avoid reintroducing yourself since we're on the same bill.
Co-Chair Steiner Hayward, Senator Johnson, we had a consultant who helped us with a strategic planning process and an operational plan. We will use that framework to implement the statutory changes.
Well,
please.
Does it have adequate deliverables and a timeline? And so you're going to just be taking the consultant's work product that made certain recommendations, and you're going to be now attempting to implement the recommendations without facilitation.
We actually we worked with the consultant to create an operational plan. And we are beginning to operationalize the planning process. And we had staff working on it. We do have a timeline. We have a fairly rigid timeline that we are working through. And yes, we are doing that. We're doing that without the consultant.
Okay. One last, just to put a finer point on it. So you've got the plan. You've got rigid timelines. You've got the deliverables. You've heard the co-chair say that there's a desire, and I think she speaks for many of us, to have interim progress reports. And I would presume that when you make your presentation, it would correlate the proposed deliverable with progress to date so that it would be easy for this committee or an interim committee to track that progress.
Co-Chair Steiner Hayward and Senator Johnson, absolutely.
If I may, if you have other questions, Senator Johnson, I'd be happy to interview him. So I just asked Mr. Borden whether we have a copy of that timeline. He says you need to then go back and reconcile that with the exact details of 3523. I would ask Ms. Dahlgreen that as soon as you get that done, which I hope will be soon, that you send that to Mr. Borden, even if it's not during legislative session. I would like that to go to Mr. Borden, and I would like it to go out to the members of this committee, Mr. Borden, to make sure that we're kept apprised. And my hope is that you will continue to stay in touch with Mr. Borden to keep him apprised of your progress in meeting that. We've done that with other agencies. We're not picking on you alone. And I personally, I know my co-chair has done the same with other agencies where we've been tracking their progress on a timeline pretty carefully. So I would expect to be doing that with yours as well, just to be crystal clear about that.
Thank you, Senator Steiner Hayward. That will be done.
Thank you very much.
So, Madam Co-Chair, I would move that we heed LFO's recommendation on key performance measures, on the handling of these key performance measures.
Thank you. My co-chair moves that we
accept.
I like heed much better. It's a much nicer word. LFO's recommendations on how we manage the key performance measures. Is there further discussion? Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think, again, it appears that we're realigning the KPMs with the plan that the State Library is now creating. What will we measure progress or changes against if we don't have a set of plans to measure it against? I mean, if we just set up a new set of KPMs to go with the plan.
I appreciate your frustration, Senator. I'm going to take a first crack at this, and then maybe Mr. Borden or Ms. Dahlgreen can help us again. I would say that my expectation looking at these KPMs is that some of them aren't going to change. Some of these things will not change. Providing services to people who are getting talking books and braille services is not going to change. Cost per contact probably shouldn't change because we should be at least as efficient, if not better. I'm not going to go through every single one of them, but I would be surprised if all of them change. I'd certainly expect some of them to change, but not all of them. And then assuming that we get updates in a timely fashion, I would expect that we would hold them accountable we would expect to see results on new KPMs by then as well, and especially if we're being kept updated. I appreciate your concern, but I don't think a boatload of these are actually going to change. We're just leaving some flexibility. Did you have a question, Representative Hurd? Okay, good. Anything else? Is there objection to the motion? If not, Senator Whitsitt. Okay, so moved. Next.
Madam Co-Chair, the last and final item for this measure is there's a -2 amendment. So the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends a $3,562,267 general fund, a $6,270,721 other funds, and $5,061,583 federal funds budget. 853. And 42 positions, 40.26 FTE. And that Senate Bill 5519 be amended accordingly by the -2 amendment.
So, Madam Co-Chair, I would move adoption of the -2 amendments to Senate Bill 5519 as brought forward by LFO.
Thank you. Co-Chair Smith moves adoption of the -2 amendments to Senate Bill 5519. Is there further discussion? Any opposition? Okay.
Madam Co-Chair, I would move the measure as amended with the -2 amendments be recommended to the full committee on joint ways and means with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Co-Chair moves Senate Bill 5519 as amended by the -2s to the full committee on ways and means with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Senator Johnson?
I'm going to not annoy the co-chair. I will be a courtesy.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Any objections? Senator Whitsitt? Representative Hurd? Okay. So moved. Representative Nathanson, would you be kind enough to do this for us as well?
Okay.
I'd be grateful. Thank you very much. And we'll just have Senator Devlin do them both in the Senate. Thank you. Okay. I am closing the work session on Senate Bill 5519, and I will now be opening a work session on Senate Bill. I've lost track of the numbers. 5509. Thank you. Mr. Gordon.
Madam Co-Chairs and members of the subcommittee, again before you is the Employment Relation Board's primary budget measure, Senate Bill 5509. It's a total funds budget of $4.4 million, 13 positions, and 13 FTE. The budget is a 5.2% increase over the 2013-15 legislatively approved budget. There are two packages within this budget. Package 801 is an adjustment package. It updates the beginning balance and makes a technical change that will be discussed here shortly. Package 101 is an electronic filing system of $45,320 total funds. And with that, I'll walk through, with the chair's permission, the work session papers.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a total funds budget of $4.4 million, 13 positions, 13 FTE. The first package, 801, is an adjustment of $154,736 to update the agency's beginning balance, which was originally reported at $390,000. Of this increase, $352,632 is attributable to the state agency assessment, and $192,104 is fee revenue increase to bring the balance up to what the current projections are by the agency. Package 101 is an electronic filing case management system. This is a request for the agency to work with a private vendor to develop this system. The system would be used to manage cases, to manage case flows, timekeeping, generate letters, and produce reports electronically. The vendor, the vendor would fund all upfront application development costs as well as all ongoing maintenance costs. The agency would then be charged, after the application is deployed, an annual licensing and hosting fee of approximately $45,320 beginning in July 2016 when the application is tentatively expected to be deployed. The project would be managed internally by the agency. The 2017-19 roll-up cost is estimated to be $90,640. This would be phase one of a potentially two-phase project. Phase two, which would be in the 17-19 biennium, would augment the existing case management system by providing the capability of electronic e-filing and e-payment. That would cost an additional $10,000 to $15,000 per year at current estimates. So the revenue source to fund this is general fund and probably state agency assessment. LFO is recommending approval of that particular package. Package 801 is a technical adjustment requested by the agency. It simply moves $24,953 of in-state travel from the hearings program to the mediations program. It has a net zero impact. And with that, Madam Chair, those are the recommendations from the Legislative Fiscal Office.
Thank you.
So, Madam Co-Chair, I would move the LFO recommendations to Senate Bill 5509.
Thank you. Mr. Co-Chair moves the LFO recommendations to Senate Bill 5509. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? If not, so moved. Ms. Gordon.
Madam Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, next are the KPM, the key performance measures of the agency. LFO would note that over the interim and at direction of the 2013 session, LFO and the Department of Administrative Services and the agency engaged in an extensive review of the agency's KPMs that achieves alignment with the measures and the agency's functions and what's under the agency's control. There's a significant refining of these measures. And with that, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval of the key performance measures and targets.
So, Madam Co-Chair, I'd move the LFO recommendation on key performance measures.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Moves the LFO recommendations on key performance measures. And before we get into further discussion, if there is any, I would point out that this is another example where, as came up in full last week, the week before, we have that funny problem where sometimes low numbers are good. So, for example, if you look at KPM-5, final board orders, the average number of days from submission of a case to the board until issuance of a final order, the target is 60, and the most recent result is 49. This is a case where lower is good. And I don't know a good way to frame these that we don't get into these problems, because sometimes higher is good and sometimes lower is good, except that maybe we need to do them in different font or something like that to keep from all of us from getting confused as we plow through all these, which happens on a regular basis. So if people are looking at these and wondering why low is good and we're happy with it, it's because it's always good to beat targets. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I remember a time several sessions ago when performance measures, at least in some cases, were brought to us with an arrow somewhere to the side that showed, was it improving or not? Were things trending bad or trending good? And then you could pay attention to the arrows and look for a down arrow instead of an up arrow, rather than trying to quickly interpolate numbers. I don't know what happened.
That's a very good suggestion, Representative. We'll see if we can go back to that. Yeah.
This is the summary report. The detailed report has more extensive information on trend data and color coding.
Okay. So, anyway, any further discussion?
I would just say, Madam Co-Chair, on some of these performance measures, I made a mistake the other day in full Ways and Means, and I think if I would have just slowed up a little bit and actually read it with 3 more seconds worth of detail, I probably would have caught my error. But it would be neat to, it'd be helpful if there was a way for us to standardize a little bit more on those. But for me, I just should have given 3 more seconds worth of attention.
Well, I can assure you, you're not the only one who's done that. I've done it too. Senator Johnson? Yeah.
I just would like to again acknowledge, and I know that we did a bouquet toss at the last hearing, but this agency is running so well right now. And I had had the occasion to opine on the fact that good behavior ought to be rewarded in the budget process. There was a time when this agency was a mess. This room would have been absolutely packed with people that were cranky about what was going on for a variety of different reasons. There was enough stuff for everybody to be cranky. And now cases are getting turned out. Everybody seems very satisfied with how it's going. And that's testimony to the leadership of the director. And I just would make the case that in instances like this where there's clear forward progress, we should do nothing to hamper the ability of the agency to keep on that trajectory.
Thank you. And the one other thing I would say, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Senator. What's it?
Thank you. I would just reiterate what Senator Johnson just said. I think this agency has made a remarkable turnaround. Good management is hard to replace. I would say this, and I will support the bill, but I truly believe that this agency should be funded by both the employers and the employees, an assessment on both, as both the employer and the employee equally benefit from the services of this agency. Thank you.
Something must be going on if the two of you are agreeing that this is going well. So that is good.
I think the record speaks for itself. I Mr. Borden will attest to the fact that I was one of the people that was administering emergency first aid as far as 5 biennia ago, and how pleasant it is to not have this be a basket case of an agency. I think the facts speak for themselves.
So, Madam Co-Chair, I move adoption of the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 5509.
Thanks. Did we already pass the KPM one?
Oh,
we have to pass that one first. Hang tight.
You're
jumping the gun.
I'm just helping us get moving here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay, is there any objection to the motion on the KPMs? If not, so now it's your turn again.
I'm going to wait till John gives us update on his recommendation.
So the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends a budget of $2,399,463 general fund and $2,089,000 $18,105 other funds, 13 positions, 13 FTE, and that Senate Bill 5509 be amended accordingly by the Dash 2 amendment. And also, just for the record, the agency's state agency assessment assumed in this budget is $1.92. So thank you, Madam Chair.
So with that, Madam Co-Chair, I would move adoption of the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 5509.
Thank you. Mr. Co-Chair moves the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 5509. Is there any further discussion? Senator Johnson.
Mr. Borden just shined a bright light on this, that the assessment is anticipated to be $1.92. I don't know at what point there's any conversation about that assessment. We've been talking about DAS assessments, and there are multiple teams that go through and look at whether assessments are appropriate or not. Does this get discussed anywhere, Mr. Borden, or is it just the number that is affixed to a balanced budget for the agency, and that's that?
Madam Co-Chair and Senator Johnson, this is like a fee where it gets discussed at the high level, but I can assure you that there was almost well over a year of extensive back and forth between LFO and the agency and the Department of Administrative Services on this assessment. But other than that, it's set administratively by the agency. So it's similar to the AG rate, where there's no specific measure that requires statutory approval.
Thank you for the background. I'm not quibbling about $1.92, particularly when we've seen the DAS assessment on some of this stuff go up a stunning 85%. I was just curious about the back and forth, and you laid it out very clearly. Thank you.
And I would just make one other. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Senator.
Mr. Borden, does the increase from $1.65 to $1.92 in the last two biennium, does that have anything to do with the Oregon University system no longer being under the auspices of this agency?
Co-Chair and Senator, that is actually a fund shift. So those, as the assessment went down for those entities, the general fund went up. So it's a neutral cost shift between those two. So the answer would be no.
Thank you.
And the last thing I would point out, and this didn't get particularly highlighted, but it did, but the contract that we're talking about for their online complaint management system is very typical of the new way that we should be expecting to see IT contracts going forward. The vendor is entirely on the hook for the cost of developing the system and doing it to the agency's need. They will be doing that essentially on spec, and then will be maintaining it and providing service for it and updating it on an ongoing basis for essentially a licensing fee. And I think that in the long term, this is the way software in general is being managed, and it makes a lot more sense. We're seeing it with the Department of Revenue to some extent, not entirely. They're not doing it on spec, but they'll be maintaining it for a fee going forward and updating it on a regular basis, so that instead of having to do major core system replacements on a every decade or two decade basis, which is incredibly costly, and it means that we lose functionality over time, we'll be maintaining functionality at a more well-distributed cost and probably ultimately a lower cost to the system, both in terms of functionality and net present value, as it were. So I just want to point that out, that this is probably what we should expect to be seeing further. Okay, is there any opposition to the motion? If not, so moved.
So, Madam Co-Chair, I'd move Senate Bill 5509 as amended to the full committee on Ways and Means with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Thank you. Co-Chair Smith moves Senate Bill 5509 as amended to the full committee with a due pass as amended recommendation. Is there any discussion of the motion? Is there any opposition? I'm going to count Representative Pomp as not opposing. So moved. Okay. Is there any carriers on this? Anybody have a desire, Senator Johnson, since you're excited about this?
Sure.
We'll take this in the full and then the Senate, and then anybody in particular? Representative Comp, you want this in, or Representative Taylor, you want this in the House? Representative Taylor.
Okay.
How about Representative Taylor takes this in the House?
Happy to, Chair.
That'd be lovely.
And I had no objections to the motion.
I didn't. I kind of assumed you didn't. I made that. I took the liberty of assuming that.
Thank you.
I didn't even excuse you. All right, without any further discussion, I'm closing the work session on Senate Bill 5509. Mr. Borden, Mr. Co-Chair, any further business before the committee?
I'm good.
Ladies and gentlemen, any?
I'm good.
Ladies and gentlemen, any further business before the committee?